I have a saying that I say to my son, especially while he was riding his bike one day and he was looking back behind him. Mm. And I said, look to where you're going, not to where you've been. I mean, in that context, it was look forward, don't look back. But what I really mean is, you know what? Your past is your past and something you really can't dwell on. You need to focus your efforts for how good you can be in the future and how you can focus your life looking forward. And everything that's in your past, you've learned from, hopefully. And you can take that forward into your future to try and make your life better than it was before.
Well, hello and welcome back to another episode of Knowing Me, Knowing You with Paula. And you guessed right, I am Paula, your host, tuning in not from my usual home base, West Coast of Canada, but from one of my favorite cities in the world, London, in the United Kingdom. My guest is a mum, a health and fitness enthusiast, an educator, and she shares wonderful words of wisdom, being a mother, a woman who lost her parents at a young age, and the lessons learned, being in an abusive relationship earlier on in her life, what makes her community, tribe, and so much more. Colleen Leog is based in Toronto, Canada, and we became friends during my continued health and fitness career in Toronto. And I'm delighted to share her with you all. This platform is not only about knowledge and information share, but storytelling, which is my favorite part. And we all have faced triumphs and challenges in our lives, as well as lessons learned. And it is through this we are able to share beautiful golden nuggets for others to learn from. So without further delay, let's welcome my friend, Colleen. Welcome to another episode of Knowing Me, Knowing You with Paula. I'm delighted and excited to have you as my guest today and excited to learn a little more about you and hearing all about those wise words of wisdom. So thank you very much for joining me.
Well, thank you.
So we'll start off with who is Colleen? Share with listeners all about you. Who are you? Where were you born? Give us some highlights of who you are.
Well, my name is Colleen. I currently live in Toronto. I am married for about 15 years now, and we have a 12-year-old son. I've pretty much lived in Toronto my whole life, although I was born in Oakville, which is kind of a suburb outside of Toronto. I am a fitness trainer currently, and I am studying to do holistic nutrition and become a health coach. And my focus is actually to help out kids with eating, because we all know that kids have terrible eating habits. So that's kind of where I'm going right now.
Yeah, I love that, because when we first chatted previously about you coming onto the show, you had mentioned nutrition and children, and your focus really being children and eating well. And it's so important, right? We all know already, you being in fitness, me having been in fitness, is that what you put into your body, if you set the foundation right in the beginning, in your younger years, it does you well as you age, whether it be in your 20s, your 30s, your 40s, and you really start noticing it as well. I'm sure you start noticing now, both of us being in our 50s.
Yes.
Quietly, right? That, you know, if you've lived as much of a healthy life as possible, you feel so much better and you enter those years a lot stronger, right?
This is absolutely true. I mean, there's not a truer saying in the world than you are what you eat, right? Mm-hmm. So if you feed your body garbage, then you're going to feel like garbage. Mm-hmm. I mean, you wouldn't want to put low grade gas or, you know, no name oil in your Maserati if you want your Maserati to be able to drive and perform the way you would like it to. Then you need to give it the nutrients it needs, the same as your own body, right? Yeah. I mean, if you have a junk food diet, if that's what you live on, you're getting too many carbohydrates, sugars. Like we don't realize how much sugar is in like a Big Mac or, you know, that kind of thing. You want to feed it colorful things. And I don't know about you, but I get a high when I see all these colors on my plate. I just, that is so much more appealing to me than like beige, beige burgers, you know, that kind of thing. And I know that a lot of kids' palates haven't developed yet. And maybe their parents are afraid to feed them what they're feeding themselves. I think maybe as parents, we kind of get into that spin cycle of just chicken fingers, fries, hamburgers, pizza, whatever. And then that's not really showing the kids a good attitude towards food. I totally believe that you need to eat to keep your nutrition, to keep your energy up. And as I said with the car, if you don't feed it well, then it's going to go, you know, downhill. Yeah,
I like the fact that you chose a Maserati. Now, I would choose a Ferrari. Because I've seen a lot of your posts. You have a young son, Emilio, who is 12, right?
He's 12? Yes, 12 and a half.
And he prepares some really good-looking breakfasts.
Oh,
nutritionally
yes.
dense breakfast. How did you even get him to even, you know, start preparing his own breakfast at 12? I'm very impressed. And then make such wise choices.
Well, you know what? I really fought with him for the longest time. I'm sure we all do as moms and dads. We fight with our kids to eat better. Okay. Mm-hmm. But kids learn by watching. So I realized this a long time ago that, you know what? I'm not going to fight with him to try and get him to eat his vegetables or his fruit. He was always pretty good at eating fruit, but vegetables are always a bit of an issue. So I kind of just went along and I made smoothies. I made smoothie bowls for breakfast, protein shakes, whatever the case is. And, you know, one day he just wanted to try it. So he actually really enjoyed it. I don't know. A lot of kids watch YouTube for, you know, silly things that are on YouTube, but he actually watches YouTube to get recipe ideas and TikTok, right? So this is one good thing about TikTok anyway. Mm-hmm. He gets these interesting smoothie bowl ideas, and he started making all of these cool, interesting colored breakfasts, right? He makes blue smoothie bowls with, like, I guess it has all blueberries and blackberries and stuff in it. And then he makes green or purple. So all of that is very nutrient dense, as you said, great antioxidants, but it's also great to fill up the tummy before school.
Mm-hmm.
So, and he, as I said, he really enjoys fruit. So sometimes he will sneak food in, like avocados or spinach. I mean, really, those vegetables don't have any flavor. So when they're in a smoothie, they're perfect. And again, you know, if your kid is not into making himself or herself breakfast, smoothies and smoothie bowls are a great way to get nutrition into kids. Yeah. That's for sure.
And has he ever mentioned to you, or does he ever mention to you how he notices a difference with his energy levels at school and sports activities in the afternoon?
Well, he absolutely has. He's way more motivated in the morning than I am, I have to say. He gets up at 6 a.m. and he works out in his bedroom. I didn't even know this until I came across his little workout sheet. So he gets himself up at 6. He does a little 20-minute workout. Then he comes downstairs and he makes himself breakfast. And he has noticed that he's fuller, longer in the morning. So that when he's doing his work at school or doing gym class, he's not as tired or low energy. So having that nice nutritious burst, as well as the, you know, working up the body sweat a little bit, gets him going in the morning. And that's his thing. You know, it probably has, in subconsciously, I've had something to do with that. But it's his self-motivation. As I said before, seeing your parents, you know, will make kids do the same thing, right? Good stuff to fuel your body. Yeah. Then, you know, just filling up on dead carbs, really, you know, like really, they're not going to do anything for you except for sit on your waistline. So, and then you'll have to work them off later.
And the older you are, the harder it is.
Oh, geez. Tell me about it.
If you look back on your life thus far, of where you come, Colleen in school, Colleen in high school, Colleen on her career path, what's been the biggest challenge you have faced thus far in your life?
Definitely. I mean, this is so cliche, but becoming a mom for sure. You know, I always wanted to have a boy. So my husband and I decided to kind of stop trying for kids after the first one. The first one came so easily. And then, you know, everybody, you know, a lot of people that really want to have kids, a lot of people go through miscarriages or just things don't happen. So after, you know, we had Emilio, we tried again for another child and it just didn't happen. So we were totally okay with that. Yeah. Now, he was a bit of he was a bit of high maintenance when he was a baby. I don't know if it's because he was an only child or what, but I know I was an only child. I mean, I have three brothers, but they're a lot older than I am. I've never grown up with them. Their mom they have a different mom than I do. But so I really was an only child. And he was high maintenance. But my husband and I were on the same page when it came to parenting, and that we started very early with steering him in the right direction. When he did something that was not right, we punished him. We put him in the corner and we stuck to our guns. Okay. So a lot of our friends and family said, "Oh, why are you being so mean? He's only two and you're making him stand in the corner and look at the corner. And then if he runs away, you have to start again." And I said, "No, this is the way that we want to make him understand that he's done something wrong." And we carried on this way for a number of years. And he realized, because what we did was we looked at him right in the face and we explained, you know, why did you do this? Explain why you did this. How do you think that made me feel? How did that make you feel? And now we have that line of communication. I mean, it was very hard for 12 years doing that, right? You have to be on all the time. And I know sometimes we're so tired as parents and we kind of give up on the discipline a little bit, or you know, we'll get to it later. I have to say, sticking to your guns as a parent is extremely important, and you can't let that go. And I realize I only have one child, and you know, I have friends that have, you know, three, four kids, and it's obviously very difficult with that many kids. Yeah. Plus, you know, living your life as well. But I think if you start off early doing that, then the rest of the time for you as a parent will be easier. I mean, because obviously I've been doing this for 12 years now. That's probably the longest I've done anything, really, except for being a wife, but you know, that's a little easier.
And I would say when we talk about a challenge, it's also, I'm sure, difficult having to reprimand this little person that you love so much and you don't want to hurt them and upset them, but you also have to be assertive and strong-minded and stick to your guns as well, right? Even if they are crying. I mean,
well, you know what? As parents, it's totally okay. And I know everybody does this. You second guess yourself all the time. Should I have said that to him? Should I have disciplined him this way? Should I have done? It's always, should I have done this? Should I have not? Or, you know, is there something I could have done better? And you know, it's okay. We all make mistakes as parents. But I think what you need to do is you need to just follow through with what you say you're going to do. You can't just say, okay, if you don't stop doing that, we're leaving, and then don't leave. Because, you know, kids are smart. They eventually will get it after a while that you're not really going to leave, right? I think the challenge here is surprise your kids, but in a good way, you know? Open lines of communication for sure. I mean, he knows what's going on in this house all the time, and we don't keep things from him. Kids are smart, and you need to give them credit for that, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. In your life, forks in the road, you know, we all face major decisions in our lives that have resulted in us choosing to either go left or go right. Sometimes we decide we're just going to stay on course, and it may not necessarily be the best decision for us. Is there a moment that you could share with us in your life where you've faced a fork in the road and had to make a big decision?
Yes. I would have to say that's probably the moment after my mom passed away. My dad passed away in 1995 and my mom in 1998. So I was in my 20s when I lost both my parents. It was a really big life-changing experience for me. Like, who thinks they're going to lose their parents, right, when they're in their 20s? It's so nice when, you know, you're in your 50s and you still have both of your parents. Count yourself as lucky if that's you. But the fork in the road for me was after my dad passed away. My parents were living in Prince Edward Island at the time. That's where my dad is from. And they retired there. And my dad passed away probably about 2 or 3 years after his retirement. So he was in his 60s. You know, he's 66 when he died. So I brought my mom back up to Toronto because she's from Toronto and that's where I lived. And obviously I needed to take care of her as well. Had a stroke when she was 68, which is one of the main reasons I got into fitness. So once she passed away, I felt like an orphan. I didn't know what to do with myself. I was stuck making the decision, okay, do I move forward with the career path that I'm on, which is at the time I was working in the music industry, or and try to work my way up from there? Or do I just get a job that I know I can be stable at, right? Like, I don't know. I didn't even think really of it at the time, like probably working in a factory or something. And so I had to pull my pants up, and my big girl pants, and I had to figure out how to live without, you know, falling back on your parents, because I didn't have that luxury anymore. I decided to take the left or the right fork, whichever one you want to go with. And I decided to go ahead and, you know, because I had spent a lot of time in school in recording arts management and stuff. So I was interning at Universal Music at the time. So I decided, you know, I'm not making any money being an intern, but yeah. I decided to stick it out knowing that I could get a job in the music industry because I had such a passion for it. And I know that I have no problem meeting people, talking to people. So I know I could work my way in just through my personality alone, really, and plus of my schooling experience. So yeah. That's when I decided to go ahead and start my career. And I was in my early 20s then.
And it's those moments I always find that do set a foundation for us as we, you know, start getting older and we add to our toolbox of skill set that we have. You know, if you reflect back on those moments and look at who was I then? What did I do then? How did I think? How did I take action or make decisions, right? And it helps you later on in your life make other decisions as well.
Absolutely. And sometimes you just have to take a leap off the mountain, you know? Mm-hmm. If there's something that you really want to do, like for instance, now with my nutrition course, you know, I had to figure out, you know, we're all going through COVID and all this, you know, I wasn't working anymore as a personal trainer and a fitness instructor. I mean, that industry got decimated and, you know, I was my own boss and my clients dissipated. So I had to figure out a way to reinvent myself. And a lot of the time in your adult life, like I'm starting now another new career in my 50s. And I don't know how many new careers I've had in my lifetime, but here's another one. But I, you know what? I'm constantly loving to learn, and you're never too old to learn a new skill or to learn a new exercise or, you know, just to explore something you've always wanted to do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think as you move through life and changing and assimilating and reflecting and improving and learning and evolving, right?
you become a more interesting person to other people if you are mm-hmm. constantly changing as well.
You mentioned fitness. What was your reason for getting into fitness?
So my parents didn't lead a very healthy lifestyle. As I said, they passed away in their 60s. So that was kind of the turning point for me when I got into fitness after my mom passed away with a stroke. You know, when you're 12, 13, 20, you look at people who are 50, like my age now, and you think, oh man, that person's so old, right? But, you know, I don't look at myself as 50. No. I don't think I look 50. I don't sound 50. I don't certainly don't act 50.
No, and you don't feel 50. Maybe sometimes there's certain things you go, I'm getting old, but
yeah. Yeah. But after my mom passed away of a stroke, I didn't really understand what having a stroke meant. In doing my research afterwards, what stroke is all about and blood pressure and all that kind of thing. Exercise, eating correctly, not smoking, not drinking excessively. I mean, this is all related. This is kind of how I got into fitness. And when I got into fitness is after my son was born, you know, I was bored and I just needed to talk to other humans. So I decided to look into becoming a personal trainer, you know, just really for my own benefit. And then, I don't know, I was going to a personal trainer as well. And it just snowballed from there. Then I became a fitness instructor and I started working at this small boutique gym. I started training my own clients and now it's led me into nutrition. So leading a healthy lifestyle and trying to avoid all of these things that you can get from excessive weight, from bad eating habits, from all of these things that my parents didn't teach me because they didn't lead a healthier lifestyle, is what really got me motivated. Okay. Because I do not want to die when I'm in my 60s. My exactly. goal is to live to be 100 years old. That's my goal.
I'm impressed.
Yes. Well, you can if you're right, nice and healthy and, you know.
Yeah, you can.
Eating very healthy and working out. Exercise is so important for not only looking good, feeling good, but good for your bone health, you know, your heart, your muscles. You got to keep all that stuff vital and working.
Yeah. Well, what you put into your body, you know, what you feed your mind, your physical exercise, you know, spirituality. I mean, it all goes hand in hand for longevity.
Absolutely.
On every aspect, right? You shared on your social media leading up to your 50th birthday, you shared a couple of quotes over a 3-4 day period, right up to the day of your birthday, these words of wisdom. And I'll say they are wise words of wisdom. And the first one, that your first post you put there, put your phone down, be patient with your parents, let go of toxic relationships. Now, I love the put your phone down. That's a goodie.
You know, I'm guilty of this as well. We spend so much time and we waste so much time flipping through social media, like, you know, what's the world doing today, basically, that we spend so much time in the outer realm of life that we don't actually spend time in your own space. For instance, when my son comes home from school and he's having a snack, this is how we catch up. So I say, well, how's your day? How was math? You know, what did you do at recess? You know, just small talk. And he's not really ready to give me answers to those questions, right? So he will sit and eat and I'll kind of watch him or just we'll sit and do our small talk. But after about 5 or 10 minutes, he will share things with me that, you know, he wouldn't normally do had I been on my phone or had he been on his phone. Because I mean, come on, we all sit on our phone sometimes. We sit at the kitchen table and, you know, all the family members are on some kind of a device. We all do that, but it's important to have family dinners, because that's when you get to catch up on your day, right? So put the phone down, put the social media down. You don't need to be on these things, all the time. It's important to connect with your people as opposed to people you don't even know on social media, or whatever you do, if you read the news on social media or whatever. It's just really nice to talk to your people.
Your second post was compliment yourself daily, give yourself a break, be positive, and look on the bright side of life. Very personal.
Yes.
About self. I love that.
So now that I'm 50, I have learned to accept things in my life, in my body, just wouldn't accept before. I've learned to love myself, really. We're always, especially women, we're really just talking to ourselves constantly. And I mean, we're bombarded with all of these images, okay, from television, radio, just social media, all of these images of beautiful women and fitness and all kinds of things like this, that we really, and especially I don't like this because teenage girls are like, not even like preteens, are really getting bombarded with this stuff. And it makes them feel bad about themselves, you know, that they can't ever live up to this expectation of beauty of the Jenners and the Kardashians and, you know, whoever else they're into these days. As you get older, I think that you probably learn to just let go of a lot of that because, hey, we all know it's all injection this, injection that, and Photoshop and filters and stuff. So people, you know, if you saw these people in real life, they would not look like that. You just have to learn to accept yourself and learn to love yourself. So I used to teach this class of teen girls. I used to teach a fitness class for teen girls. And at the end of the class, we would, you know, sit and talk about certain situations. So I used to give them a little assignment. And the assignment I gave them, they would have to write down three to four things about themselves that they didn't like. Okay. So whether that would be my legs are too big, my toes are ugly, you know, my hair is too frizzy, whatever the case is. Okay. So they had to write down four things. Then they would turn the page over and they would write four things that they liked about themselves, but it had to still relate to the things that they said negative things about. So say for instance, their toes are ugly. One of the positive things is, and if they could not recognize that in themselves, then I would help them with that. I would say, well, you know what? Some people are born without toes. You have five toes and they help you walk. Or, you know, some people, their hair is falling out. Look at how much hair and gorgeousness you have with your hair. So anything that they wrote down, they thought about themselves as negative. I got them to see the other side of the coin and how you can turn those negative thoughts into positive thoughts. And I think especially with young girls and women, it's really important to, you know, not bombard them with all of these images that you can, they're not just not realistic. And to try and think of yourself as a beautiful person inside and out. It's very important to do that. And I've come to be able to finally do that when I'm 50 now, you know, it's taken me a long time.
The importance of we talk to ourselves and what we think of ourselves.
Yes.
And, you know, if there is something that we don't like, also look at it and say, well, this is fine, but maybe I can improve on myself. So this is my body shape, but how can I be the best that I can be with this body shape?
This is it. Yes. And you know, I know a lot of moms have the issue of they don't like how their stomach looks after children. Mm-hmm. Right. And of course you're going to say that, but that way your body looks, it has been able to provide you with a beautiful, healthy baby that, you know, grows up to be a contributing member of society. You know, you have to think about it that way. And just, I mean, you're probably the only one that cares about how your stomach looks. You're your partner probably doesn't care.
So the day of your birthday, you had a great couple of words of wisdom that you shared. Be a good friend. Try your best to be loyal. Be present and listen.
Yes.
And a friend is a friend on all levels, whether you are married, whether you have a brother or a sister, a sibling, whether you have a work colleague, and then even your closest of friends. What inspired those words?
Because texting is so easy these days, we tend to do that. And I certainly am guilty of that as well. It's just a quick way to check in with someone rather than picking up the phone and calling them and having conversation, because a lot of us just don't have the time anymore to have hour long conversations. And because it seems that we go less and less and less, more and more and more of a time in between conversations with people, then that phone call is just going to get that much longer because you have that much more to catch up on. So, I'm guilty of this. And I think even just checking in with a text, if I'm thinking of someone at that moment, I will text them and say, "Hey, how are you doing? I'm just texting to see how your day is going." I think that's so important that you do that just to keep, not only to just to keep your friendship going, but just to let that person know that they're in your heart, that you're thinking of them, that they're important to you. I often do that with people I'm not even that close with, but I will do that. I'm not a big person to have phone conversations anymore, but I really do enjoy just texting people, or, you know, I can always send funny emojis and stuff like that. I just like to make people's day. And being a loyal friend, you know, having people's back, you know, when they need you. You know, there's always stuff going on in people's lives that you might not be aware of. And, you know, I try to instill this in my son as well, with the situation he was in at school the other day, where there's a girl that's, you know, he hangs out with girls most of the time, but there's this one girl that is just, he finds her very annoying. And then they at one point said, "Go away," to this poor girl. And I said, "Look, would you like it if someone told you to go away if you were trying to make friends with them?" And I said, "Maybe, you know, maybe she's lacking social skills," which a lot of kids are now with COVID being off school for so long. And maybe she just doesn't know how to be a friend, but telling her to go away is not helping. And I said, "Maybe she goes home at night and cries. If you got told that, how would you feel?" Just try to be a friend, and think of what's on the other side of the mirror, you know? So what's that person going through? Everybody's got a story.
Yes.
Everybody's going through something. So making a connection that way could be sometimes a life and death situation for 100%. People, you know, if they're really on the edge, just saying, "Hello, how are you? I'm thinking about you."
Yeah, 100%. And the be present and listen. This is something I shared with one of my episodes about how important it is to listen more and speak less.
Absolutely.
You have been married for 13 years this year, right?
Yes. And well, it'll be 14 in April.
14 in April. And you share some great tips about marriage.
Yes.
Share a little more with us.
Well, I mean, 14 years, 13 and a half years is not a lot of time to be married to someone, totally in the grand scheme of things, really. But what I have learned is that communication, as I mentioned before, is a super duper important aspect to have in your marriage, especially when it comes to raising children, for sure. You need to be on the same page as parents, you know, because kids like to play the parents, right? Mm-hmm. Go to mom to ask this. She says no, then go to dad and ask this. Maybe he'll say yes. Husband and I are definitely on the same page when it comes to parenting. Going along with the communication, when you're having an argument, listening is a very important skill to have. Listen more, talk less. And yelling. Yelling is not going to do anything. I mean, if you yell at your kids, do they listen? No. So will your spouse listen? Probably not. They'll just try and yell louder. We don't have any yelling going on in our house. It's just, I find it extremely disrespectful. My parents used to yell all the time at each other. And I just thought, this is crazy. Why are you people doing this? You know?
What advice would you give your younger self with all this experience? Because you're a mom, you've had some career changes, you know, you were close to your parents, and that experience, you know, the loss of your parents certainly changed your life and the trajectory of your life. So if you look at all of this experience you've had, what advice would you give a younger Colleen?
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, I would definitely talk to myself about self-worth, self-respect. You know, I used to have a boyfriend who was mentally abusive. He was very, very aggressive. He was just all around not a nice person. And he actually didn't have a lot of friends either, because probably of his assertive, aggressive nature, he was very controlling. Although I have learned a lot from that relationship, because I never again had anybody in my life like that, I would love to tell that person to get out of that relationship a lot sooner than 4 years that we were together. Because all of that negative energy really brought me down. And I mean, I dated him from the time I was 15 to I was 20. And in that time, I was not a very positive person. I didn't have great self-esteem. But, you know, and then when I started getting a little bit older and my brain was, you know, more mature, I saw the other side. I saw what could be, and I kind of pulled myself out of that. And actually, my mother used to always sort of bring me up, and she always gave me positive attitude. And she always told me I was beautiful. And so when I wasn't feeling beautiful, I would always hear her words of encouragement. And I think that kind of brought me out of that doom and gloom of the boyfriend. And then we broke up, thank God. And then I moved on with life. So, you know, and there's other young girls that are going through this, and they think that the partner that they're with is the one and only. And I'd love to give advice that that is not the case. You know,
I was going to say, what advice would you give someone that is stuck in a relationship where there is emotional abuse? And
there's always greener grass on the other side of the hill. Yeah. And I mean, those type of people love to bring everybody into the vortex of negativity. Mm-hmm. And you do not want to be in that vortex with them. And, you know, you need to move out of their space, which also leads into toxic relationships with people. I mean, it's okay to let people go, you know, whether it's friendships or lovers or husbands or whatever the case is, it's okay for you to take your power back and let people go out of your life.
Yeah. And that's something we only learn again later in life, right? Is letting go of those toxic relationships and finally being brave enough to say, this doesn't work for me anymore. If I say the word community, what does this word mean to you? What comes to mind if I say the word community?
Your inner circle of friends and family, the people that are most important to you. If I'm really breaking it down, I have a wonderful community of girlfriends in my direct neighborhood. We can all walk to each other's houses. We all met at school. All of our kids aren't necessarily in the same grade though. We just all kind of started talking to each other, and we became a really, really close group of girls. We'll get together in the afternoon and we'll have, you know, a little bit of Prosecco and just chit chat and catch up. But we've all become very close and we go for walks and we, you know, go for hikes and cottage together once in a while, just girls, you know, and our husbands are all friends as well, but that's my community. It's really important for girls, for women to have close girlfriends, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. I love that. And so I have a fun question to ask you. If you had a time machine, now you're not going to change anything. All you're going to do is you're going to jump in this time machine and you either are going to choose to go back to the past and have, so would you go back to the past or would you go to the future to have a look?
Well, I would definitely go back to the 70s and go some disco dancing.
Nice. I love that.
I was just a kid in the 70s and I just love the costumes and the outfits just kind of a different way of life and how life was without computers and social media. Yes. I mean, this is a time when people were getting together and things were so much more carefree and stress-free. Not stress-free, but a lot less stress, I think.
I would go back to the roaring 20s because I love the clothes and I'd love to be there to, you know, those old cars and automobiles and the roaring 20 parties and those outfits and just to be a fly on the wall and just watch all of this and the music, right?
Yes. Yes, big bands.
What a great time, right? That's where I would definitely go back to the past. I'm like, I'm not worried about the future. Sure, it would be interesting, but I'm not really interested in that. I'd like to be a fly on the wall to experience what has already gone by because I didn't have the opportunity to experience that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much, Colleen. This has been wonderful. Such great insight. And thank you for sharing you and being open to sharing you with listeners. I really appreciate your time, your energy. So thank you.
Thank you.
We have come to the end of this episode. Thank you to my guest and thank you to you listeners for joining us on this journey. Please remember to rate, review, and share this episode or any other episodes. We love you for the attention. And it helps others know whether this is all worth a listen. That is it from me, Paula, your host here at Knowing Me, Knowing You. Thanks for tuning in. Goodbye for now.